Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 74, recorded on Tuesday, May 28th, 2024.
It's an off day for us.
Yep.
A Tuesday. Yeah, indeed it is. I don't know if we've ever recorded on a Tuesday before.
I think we have.
You may see my hair swirling around?
Yeah.
Whipping my dreads.
It's kind of a rocking tune.
Yeah. I know we've done a few off days before, but Tuesday doesn't seem like a day we've done in my head.
I don't know that we have, to be honest with you. It was mostly like Wednesday.
I think we've done a Sunday once.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What do we got here? I was trying to think of some new ideas to freshen up the podcast a little bit because we're running out of top five lists. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I don't think we'll run out of movies to review because we can go to classics, we can go to new stuff, we can go to, you know, that's never
shitty things,
end.
Good things. Yeah. We'll never run out of movies to watch. That's for sure.
But I was thinking of maybe trying to like come up with some other ideas. I was thinking maybe we could do like a,
Question answer.
Well, I was thinking like a smaller episode to review TV series.
Okay. Yeah.
So we could watch an episode a week or something like that and do a weekly thing, or maybe two episodes and then a bi-monthly, you know, twice a month we'll do a review of two episodes at a time.
Yeah,
and,
that'd be cool.
Or maybe we'll do some watch alongs or something. I don't know. We got to figure something out to kind of spice it up a little bit, change things up.
Spicy.
Top five. Yeah, top five listener. We're going to run dry on that pretty soon.
We are.
Any real feedback.
I made a joke about that, too, with Chris.
I could take off a random article of clothing every episode that make it spicier.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. We do a top five of top five list. What is your top five list? You know, we're going to run into this. It's gonna get ugly when we start running out of shit.
Top five articles of clothing you don't want Chris to take off during a show.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to come up with some ideas. But if you think of anything, or if any listeners think of something that might help us out, go for it. All right, let's get started with some horror news. The first Omen is coming to Hulu/Disney+ on May 30th.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I don't have it.
I'm watching it as soon as it comes out.
You don't have Hulu? You don't have Disney Plus?
Hulu.
Yeah, let me tell you, what a film. Love it.
I know.
I've seen nothing but good reviews. Nothing but good reviews.
What a film.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
So
what
good.
A film.
It looks so good.
The 30th, that's Friday, right? Is that Friday? Yeah.
The sad part is when I went to see it in the theater, it was like the last weekend it was playing, and there was literally nobody else there. I was the only person in the entire theater watching.
Okay.
And I was like, why the hell is this place empty? What a great movie.
Nobody goes to the movies anymore, man. This was like the worst Memorial Day in like forever, I think, this past Memorial Day.
It's expensive. That's a problem. It's expensive. Nobody talks about it. They all complain.
Yeah.
It's because there are too many cookie cutter movies. It's because there's too many big company movies. No, it's because when I was a kid, I could go on a Saturday with a friend to the dollar movies.
Yeah.
And it was a dollar.
Yeah.
Now you go into movies for $15. The kids aren't doing that on Memorial Day weekend anymore. They're not doing that on the weekends or during the summer. There's no fucking money.
Yeah.
There's a... more reasons too. Like I said, last few times I went to the movies, you know, some jackass is on his cell phone.
That's the thing. COVID.
Yeah.
COVID made that experience so much worse because people forgot how to behave in fucking public.
True. You know what else is funny? We just went to a movie yesterday because it was raining out here and we had nothing else to do, and there was probably a dozen people in the theater, and we were like the first ones in there, and we sat here. And then a family of four came and sat directly in front of us. And then another three people came in and walked past us into our aisle and like a few seats down. And I'm like, the theater's empty. I'm like, why y'all only got to sit here?
Do you guys have like the theaters here?
You
in
can
California,
pick your seats. Yeah.
They're all by reservation.
Yeah.
There's none that you can
right.
just walk
so are
in
these.
And
so you pick them out. Like, and I'm like,
Well, the thing is, here's the thing. If you're used to watching at home on your big screen 4K TV, you want to be dead center. So everyone tries to...
Not me, man. I always sit in the end in case I got to go and take a piss and I don't have to like walk through people. I always sit at the end.
Yeah, I do too. I try to.
I don't. I try to sit in the middle.
No. Yeah, it was just weird. Like, there's 12 of us in there. We were all in this one spot.
That's crazy.
Yeah, sorry. A little sidetrack there.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. All right, anyway. Yes. All right. First Omen, Hulu, Disney. Great movie. First Omen will be available for purchase on digital platforms starting today, May 28th, and it comes to Hulu on May 30th.
Oh, so it's digital already.
It'll arrive on Blu-ray and DVD July 30th. You can pre-order now on Amazon.com.
Cool. So you can probably rent it, right, if it's digital?
Yes, you can rent it on Amazon right now.
Right now. So, like, okay, so I can watch it. I can watch it.
Ghoulies release plush toys. They're now available to purchase on Amazon.com. You have 14-inch collector plush toys of all three of the Ghoulie types.
Dude, I'm going to have to get some. Put them on my desk at work.
Put them on your toilet.
Well, they're 14 inches tall. They're pretty big.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize they were that big. Yeah. I thought they were like more like little plushies.
Oh,
they're like life size, huh?
They're 14 inches tall. They're life size like the characters in the movie, which, by the way, I just got the 4K restoration of that one, and I watched it this weekend, and I just love that movie. And the 4K restoration, they did it from the original camera negatives. It was a fantastic quality
nice.
Film. Love it.
Nice. Digitally enhanced, too? Like, the audio was also, like...
Yeah, it was. It wasn't in surround, but it was the digital theater sound, which is kind of nice.
That's cool. That's a good one.
Yeah. Stephen King adaptation of The Monkey was sold to Neon Pictures.
Yeah. Hey.
According to Deadline. Yeah.
Speaking of Neon... they're pumping out the horror movies right now. I think
they are.
I think they're surpassing like A24 for some good stuff. I mean, Neon, they're
immaculate.
They're pumping out more than that. Like, I just watched, you know, a few others from Neon, and they're putting out good stuff too, not just garbage.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, they recently purchased this from the Cannes Film Festival. Which is taking place last week, apparently, in France. And there was a lot of news about it. But, they purchased this to Stephen King, The Monkey, which is from his... what freaking book was that one from?
It was like Monkey Shines or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a short... No, it's a short story.
Yeah.
Not Nightmares and Dreamscapes. There was a bunch of short stories in that one. No.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what book that was in, and I thought I put it in my notes here, but I didn't.
They did Infinity Pool.
Skeleton Crew.
Okay. Yeah,
Skeleton
yeah.
Crew. Yep. That's where it was. Which, by the way, a good book collection of short stories. I really like that book. But yeah, so that one's going to be released by Neon Pictures apparently next year. They're targeting. So, sounds good. Stephen King, man, that guy just cranks out those horror films. He's got a library that'll never end.
And his son now too is just adding to the to the legacy.
Dude, his son writes some of the best comic books too. Oh man,
I don't know if I've read much of his comic book stuff.
Yeah, he did Wolverton Station not too long ago, which I showed you guys.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that one.
Creepshow comic book. He did the Duffel Bag Full of Heads or whatever. That was pretty good. He did a whole bunch of really good ones.
Sweet.
Lock and Key. I don't know if you ever watched that show on Amazon.
Yeah.
That comic book.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I've watched that one.
That was Joe, right? His son.
Son, Joe Hill. Yeah, yeah. Yep. All right. Silent Hill reveals the image of the new Pyramid Head. According to Variety magazine, this is a first look at the new Silent Hill film. The nice thing is, if you're familiar with the Silent Hill movies, there were two of them prior to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had the original Silent Hill, which was a fantastic film.
Indeed.
Then you had the second one that really kind of sucked.
There was an animated one, too, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
Now, the live-action ones,
yeah.
The second one sucked because it wasn't the same writer-director as the first
Correct.
One.
Correct.
So the original, Christoph Gans, who directed the first one and wrote the first one, he's back for the third one, so that's exciting. It's a reboot, more or less.
Cool.
The franchise is going to continue. This one's called Return to Silent Hill. It is the latest adaptation of the Silent Hill anthology video series. Variety magazine has a first look in this month's issues of Pyramid Head and an interview with Christoph Gans, the directed film. He is previewing the film at Cannes Film Festival. So
sweet.
Everyone that attended Cannes got to see that lovely film. I wish I was there.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah, this is one, I don't know if you guys remember, but back in, 2020, when they did the PlayStation Day, right? Remember the day when they announced all the new games and shit?
Yeah.
They gave a whole presentation about Silent Hill.
I do remember that, like, yeah.
Yes, we're doing the next film and Christoph Gans is back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, four years ago.
Now we're finally seeing the fruit of his labor.
Sweet.
It's expected to be in theaters either sometime this fall or early next
year. Oh, sweet.
So. Exciting.
Indeed.
Universal picks release dates for a bunch of new films. According to Deadline, there's a slew of films coming out through Universal. Notably, Blumhouse's thriller, The Woman in the Yard. That's set to open Friday, March 28th, 2025. Platinum Dunes and Blumhouse's direct drop debuting Friday, April 11th, 2025. And Blumhouse Five Nights at Freddy's Part 2 is going to scare up the box office next December 5th, 2025.
I didn't see the first one.
Me neither.
It was really good. Okay. It was. I was surprised at how good it was.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I just was kind of hesitant. I don't know. But if you really liked it, I'll...
It broke some records, mostly amongst the kids that played that game.
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, people have said, hey, there's a lot of great things in there, like even, you know, Easter eggs for the game and stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Cool.
I'm not familiar with the game, but the movie was entertaining. Actually, I found it better than the Willy's, what was that one?
Oh,
that,
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, what
Willy's Wonderland, I think.
That's it. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. it. It was better than that. Let's put it that way. Blumhouse also announced that the Black Phone 2 will be coming out June 27th, 2025.
Wow.
I'm sorry. They moved that date to Friday, October 17th, 2025. October is better than June. Megan 2.0 is coming out in June also.
Sweet.
I didn't like the first one. So
I did. I haven't seen the uncensored version yet. I wish they would have released that instead of the PG-13 one, but I liked it. It
would have been nice. A new film called The Substance. There's according to Deadline, they have a first look at Demi Moore in this new body horror film.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Called Substance. Moore stars in this blood-splattered thriller with Margaret Qualley and Dennis Quaid. The new movie is billed as a body horror with a feminist take. It revolves around a new product called The Substance, which promises a transformation in people with the best versions of themselves to their dreams. So I'd like to see that. It sounds good. Body horror is always something fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading, I guess she had some, she was worried about the full frontal scenes she had to do, but,
I'm sure she looks fine. I'd like
to although I think what they're gonna probably do is flip the script and like show her like skinned or something like that, so she's like naked, but you're like repulsed by her.
They'll probably do body doubles too. Chances are,
well,
a woman,
you know what they do now too.
Enough.
Instead of body doubles, they put a wig on down below there, like a fake.
Well, they've always done the Merkin. The Merkin has been a tried and true method for on film acting.
Yeah,
just a big bush. Cover everything up with a big bush. yes. Okay. So, Dark Sky Films is a new company that sprouted up to do collections of DVDs. You know, now that all the companies are giving up on physical media, they're outsourcing all their films to companies like Dark Skies. Vinegar and
Syndrome.
Their very first release is going to be a box, complete box set of the entire Hatchet film collection.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Now, it's a 5-disc set. It includes all 4 Hatchet films and a Blu-ray bonus disc. $69.98 is the retail price for pre-order right now. I'm going to say this. The first Hatchet film, Craig, didn't we see that together at the theaters?
Yep.
So the first Hatchet film was a surprisingly great movie.
Yep. That's the only one I saw.
Hatchet 2, not so good. Hatchet 3, a little worse.
Hatchet 4?
And then the last one was just called
Hatchet in Space?
Crowley or something, right? Wasn't it just the guy's name, the killer's name, Crowley? What was the killer's name? Something Crowley.
Yeah,
I can't remember his first name, but I thought it was just named after him. It's like Hatchet 4, you know.
Oh no, the movie was just called Crowley, wasn't it? No.
Was it just Crowley? It might have been.
I don't know.
Not Hatchet in Space.
All I know is that I didn't watch the fourth one because the third one pissed me off so bad.
Yeah, I didn't make it past that. I liked the first one, but I never watched any others. So I slasher sequels for me, like you know, they're going to be tough to make a good one, a good sequel.
Right. The fourth film was just called Victor Crowley. That was it.
Yep.
That was 2017 that came out. Hatchet 1, 2006, great film. Hatchet 2 in 2010 was an okay film. Hatchet 3, I fucking hated that film, and then I didn't go see Victor Crowley.
Mr. Crowley.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I'm definitely not going to order that box set, but I do intend to buy the single of the first Hatchet film, because that film was surprisingly good. I remember watching it in theater going, wow, that's actually a fucking great slasher.
Yep.
Yeah.
When's that other one come out? Nature or something
that starts this week in select theaters.
Yeah,
Alamo Draft House has it here in LA.
In a violent nature.
Go. Yeah, it'll be. Yeah. It's going to be on Shudder in the end of the month or the end of June.
Oh, okay. Maybe we can review that one.
Mm.
Yeah, that one looks really good, and the reviews of the people who have seen it are like, "Wow, what a film!"
Yep. Yeah, it looks good.
So I'm excited for that. All right, the Long Legs final trailer is creepy as fuck, and I am excited.
Yeah, man. Oh,
I know.
Me too.
Oh, no.
Like, that really is.
It looks like it's just going to be a disturbing movie, man.
Dude, it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up.
Same here.
Damn.
That's stabbing.
Same here, man.
They're going, that's stabbing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, man. I'm stoked for that one.
It's just so random and yet spooky.
It just looks like it's going to be dark and depressing. And
Yeah, for sure.
And then the latest trailer at the bottom, it says, as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In theaters, July 12th. Just thinking about the trailer, I got the hair on the back of my neck standing up again. I can't wait to see that film.
Yeah. And they do they even show Nicolas Cage at all in the trailer?
No, but you hear his voice.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, they don't show him at all.
No. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Just the imagery and shit that they were showing. I'm like, God damn, it looks like it'd be freaky as hell.
Yep. Yeah, one of his more, I guess we'll call it serious. It doesn't look like it's going to have any like weird comedy. You know,
no.
What I mean? Like Nicolas Cage stuff usually has a little comedy in it. But
yeah, little comedy, little campiness.
Yeah.
This does not look like one of those films.
It does not.
And I hope it isn't. You know what I mean? I hope.
Yeah.
Well, it's from Mandy. Well, he was a little goofy in that movie too, but right?
Yep.
Same folks.
Over the top,
Mandy.
But yeah, was it goofy? I don't know, was he goofy?
It wasn't really goofy. It was just over the top.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because he took acid in that film.
Yeah.
You know, that's when he
Yep.
That was again, I have that one on 4K. Just a fantastic film. I love that film.
I
the
know.
Imagery, the colors. It was one of those
the
films
music,
that just blows
everything.
Your mind.
It was good.
Yeah. Again, more going on at Cannes Film Festival last week. IFC Films and Shudder by Isabel May's new film, Menace.
Hmm.
This is the very first film written by the Knight of the Comic screenwriter, Tom Urbanhart. His last film that he created, Knight of the Comic, was 20 years ago.
I was about to say, that movie's old as shit. Like, holy crap, this is his first one since then.
Yep.
Must have been spending them royalties.
Apparently, IFC Films and Shudder loved it so much, they bought it on site at the Cannes Film Festival.
Wow, nice.
According to Variety Magazine.
Way to go, Shudder.
Yeah, they're starting to grow. You can see their movies coming out. And
listen, they're buying up as much as they can. And I didn't realize, because I keep going, why do I keep saying IFC Channel Films in there?
Yeah.
And it's because they're partners. IFC and Shudder are partners for that channel, which is awesome. That means there's a whole slew of catalog now available to be put on Shudder eventually.
Yeah.
All right. Tom Savini is going to be acting in a role in the Terrifier 3 movie.
Yeah, that's awesome. Woo! That's awesome.
October 11th, it'll be released in theaters. Let's see. I'm very excited for that. I wonder what he's playing.
Sex Machine. It's coming back to life. with his pistol cock.
Right. Now, we talked about a couple of years ago, and then we watched it last summer, was the Rob Zombie Monsters reboot. It was campy. It was fun.
I haven't watched it.
Really?
No.
Yeah, it's not really worth
it. Well, that's what I kind of got from people, and I really wanted to watch it, but I heard it was like...
I was hoping it would be something so much better. It just really wasn't.
No.
Unfortunately. However, we're going to get a second chance because now UCP is developing a horror reboot of the Monsters. That's right.
With Rob Zombie? Or
Universal Pictures releasing... Nope, is developing a...
Oh, okay.
A reimagined 1313 Mockingbird Lane has been described as a horror series that plays with Universal Monsters, a.k.a. reimagining of the classic 1964-66 CBS sitcom The Monsters. Hmm. It is going to be way more grim than the original Monsters TV show.
That sounds interesting. That's an interesting spin.
Yeah, basically, they're kind of rebooting it as the Monsters, but it's really going to be with characters or more or less the creatures of Universal Monsters. You have Dracula, you have Frankenstein.
Yeah, like Grandpa will actually like suck the blood of people and shit.
Yeah, like grim darkness.
Herman will go smash up a liquor store and like, you know, like kill some little girl. Yeah. Then we'll all go back home and eat dinner.
Yeah, they'll have the mummy in there. The bride of Frankenstein will be Lily.
Lily, you know. She was kind of cute. I liked Lily.
Who would the mummy be?
I like Lily, too. That's a good question. Maybe the guy that answers the door. What's his
Lurch.
Name?
Lurch.
Lurch.
You rang?
Well, that's Adam's family.
Oh, that is Adam's family. Yeah. Who the fuck was it? And,
Monsters was just Herman, Lily, Grandpa.
And they had Fang, the dragon down in the basement.
The dragon under the stairs. That's right.
They had Fang, yeah.
And then Eddie, obviously another vampire.
Who turned into a werewolf at that one.
Well, he's a wolfman. Eddie was the wolfman.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Because he had the pet. Yeah, not the, his toy. He was, Wolfie.
All right, nice. So we'll see what happens there. It doesn't have any date on that. It's a little article from Deadline.
Sweet.
All right. And one more news article for me, and that is, I don't know if you guys remember back in the 80s, one of my favorite Goofy, and I tried to rewatch them recently because they are on Amazon and Tubi, this Deathstalker. So Roger Corman directed the Deathstalker series back in the 80s. That is getting rebooted, according to Variety Magazine. The first look they give the first movie was at Cannes Film Festival. Raven Banner Entertainment has launched the sales of the Cannes Film Festival's market for the reboot of the Roger Corman cult sword and sorcery film series Deathstalker. The first film is currently shooting in Canada right now as we speak. The original Deathstalker films produced by Roger Corman in the 1980s followed the success of John Millus's Conan the Barbarian. It utilized creature suits, prosthetic effects, makeup, stop motion animation, bunch of crap like that. You know,
yeah, who's one
of
those films that the guy that was in it, Deathstalker, the blonde guy.
The blonde dude, yeah.
He was in a lot of stuff in the 80s.
Yeah.
He was pretty famous.
It was a very, I tried to rewatch some of it. I used to love Deathstalker.
Yeah.
It's really fucking bad. Yeah. Obviously, I was a kid that didn't know any better back then, but I try and watch
it. It's like that same stop motion they used in,
like Jason in the Argonauts.
Clash of the
Sinbad.
Yeah. Sinbad, right.
Yep.
But yeah, Deathstalker, to me, because again, you know, in the 80s, Conan was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they were trying to ride off of the hype of Conan.
Yep.
And then you had things like,
Kroll.
What was that other
one? Kroll?
Yeah, Kroll.
Right?
Kroll was cool.
Kroll's another film. I got that on Blu-ray. Love that movie. Mm-hmm. And also things like, what was that other one that they came out with that was like a sword and sorcerer?
Oh, well, thing. There's a female version too.
Beastmaster?
Red Sonja,
right? You had Beastmaster. Yep. What was the other Beastmaster one that was that blonde chick? That was like the opposite of Beastmaster. Can't remember. But anyway, those series of films, if you review some of them, you know, you revisit some of them, they're not
kind of bad.
Great. Conan's good. I got the special, Arrow video release of the Conan the Destroyer and Conan the Barbarian. Good films. Mm-hmm. Good films. Not bad at all. Little but James I can Walter. Watch. I can sit down and watch those.
Oh, God, yeah.
I could not get through Deathstalker. So I guess I'm kind of glad they're rebooting it because I remember it fondly as a kid. It just doesn't pass. It doesn't fly as an adult.
That's funny.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Anyway, that's all the news I got. You guys got anything?
Have you watched any more of the Chucky series?
I have not.
I'm almost done with the first season.
Yeah, so you finally got to Devon Sawa?
Yes, fantastic. First of all, what a great series. It's a shame that I didn't have TV to actually watch it when it was live, you know?
It is a really good series. And
it is pretty decent.
The end of the last season was really good, and at the very end, they had Chucky petition to have people like beg for a fourth season. Which was pretty cool. Like they actually had like a QR code that you could scan.
Really?
Yeah. And then you
what's funny because the producer said he's got the writer says he got an idea for season four and he's trying to get the station to pick it up. So that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. I was just impressed with the writing, the acting, and even like the amount of gore that was in it for being a cable show.
Well, sci-fi.
Yeah, true.
Sci-fi. It was Sci-Fi USA, so you know it is cable. You could pretty much do what you want after hours on cable.
But it was a good series. This third season ended really good. Craig, you gotta start watching it, man. So we could talk about that as our next.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I don't know how long it's gonna be on Shudder, so watch it while you can, right?
Yeah, true.
I know. I just got too many series going on right now, but.
Dude, I just finished a whole bunch of. Yeah. I just watched. Well, not horror related, but I just watched on Apple TV Plus a series called Sugar.
Okay.
Which I kind of liked it because it was like a Private Eye type thing, but then it turned into something completely different, which was pretty awesome. And then I just watched the Benjamin Franklin series on Apple TV Plus, which is also pretty awesome.
Sweet. Oh, also I forgot like. Back during the pandemic, I supported some Kickstarter game that I had forgotten about, and it just showed up at my doorstep today, like in this giant box. It's a survival horror board game that can be played by one or four players. Dawn of Madness, dude. The box had to be like 50 pounds. Holy shit! Wow. Like, there's so much like work that went into this thing. I had totally forgotten about it. But you can play from one to four players, and. Well, it's going to take me a while to read the instructions on how to play it, but I remember reading the synopsis of it and said, dude, that sounds like it'd be a pretty freaking sweet game.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, you guys are coming out here in October, but I might be heading out that way in September.
Oh, cool.
To visit my sister. We'll swing by. Maybe we'll hang out one night and play the game.
Play it. Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's all I got.
All right.
I don't have anything. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. All right, next, what do we got here? We got five flicks to watch.
Yep, that was me.
Yes, that is you, Craig.
I chose Amazon.
Amazon, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They dropped a lot of good new stuff on there.
Have
a
they?
Lot of new stuff. Oh, yeah, like there's tons, like big, older stuff.
Mm, nice.
But, yeah. So I went with a list. I don't know. Just obviously not in any kind of order, but I picked movies that I would watch like Saturday mornings. that's sort of how I went about this one.
Cool.
My first one is Death Proof.
Ah, nice. Good one.
Pearl is also on there right now.
Sweet.
It's weird. It's just Pearl. I think you have to rent
X.
Yeah, which is dumb. Like, why do you have Pearl on there, but you got to rent X? And I hate when they do that. Amazon's good for that, too. They'll throw something on there. You'll put it on your watch list, and then you go to watch it, and it says you have to rent it now.
Yeah, those bastards. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My third movie is Cooties.
Oh, that's a good film, too.
That's a diamond in the rough. I don't know if a lot of people have seen Cooties, but it's a really good movie. Oldie I had on the list was Dead Zone.
Ah, good one.
Was that Stephen King?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I was going to say, I think I remember that one.
In a period film, The Woman in Black.
Ah, that is a good one.
Again, I don't know, if a lot of people have seen that.
Daniel Radcliffe I highly recommend it. Daniel Radcliffe is a great actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Plus, there's a good story, and it's a little scary.
Yeah, for sure.
It had some creepy.
I haven't seen the sequel.
I liked Daniel Radcliffe in The Swiss Army Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guns Akimbo was a really good one that he was in, too.
That was a good one, too. Guns Akimbo. Yep. And also Horns, which is written by Joe Hill.
Yep.
That's one of Joe Hill's books.
Yeah, yep. he takes some risks in the movies he does.
Yeah,
he does. Very good. Awesome. Well done. Well done. All right. Now we have the top five. And this month's list is the top five bug horror films.
I'm surprised we didn't do that. I went up and down our list like five times. I'm like, I swear we've done this one. I swear we've done it.
We didn't.
Unless it was part of the missing episode.
No, the missing one was soundtracks.
Oh, that's right. It was. Shit. Yeah. I can't believe we didn't do this one. So I was just hiding there waiting for someone to pluck it out.
And it's funny, I scribbled down like just off the top of my head, you know, movies that I remember that had, you know, critters in it or bugs, insects, whatever. So I'm good. I got a nice list here.
Yeah, there's quite a bit.
Yeah. There is.
All right. So this month it is Craig, Sal, Chris.
Woohoo!
Okay.
Bring it up the rear.
Number five, I went with a movie called Ticks.
That was pretty good. I like that one.
Sort of a B movie, yeah.
Good practical
I think
effects.
I originally... Yeah, there's actually a pretty big cast in that movie, too.
Is there? I don't remember the cast.
There is. Well, Amy Dolan, she's not a big actress, but Amy Dolan was the daughter of Mickey Dolan from the Monkees.
Hmm.
She was in that movie. I want to say, was it Seth Green?
Was in it. Yeah, I don't remember the cast. I remember watching it once and enjoying it. And I remember
there's a lot of big names in there. And it's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, me too.
Number four, I went with Eight-Legged Freaks.
It's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta love
David Arquette.
David Arquette.
Yeah.
Yep. It's sort of, you know, it was sort of a spoof on the 50s.
Yeah.
Right.
Spider movies are always creepy, though, man. Like, I'm not really afraid of spiders either, but spider movies usually creep me out.
Yeah.
Well, because they do them just right.
Yeah.
Yep. Number three, I went with Halloween 3.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you think about it, the bugs come out of the masks.
All the bugs, crawl out of their mask holes.
Yeah.
I always wondered, did the mask have the bugs embedded in it?
Or was it like. Or did their brain.
Yeah, like there was a curse on the thing. Or, yeah, that's. I always wondered that, like where the bugs came from. Yep. But, yeah, that was a good use of bugs in a movie.
Sure was. It's a little different, but it certainly was a bug movie.
Faux show.
Sort of, kind of. number two, I went with Arachnophobia.
It's a good one.
Nice one.
Yep.
You know what was funny about that? I remember the trailers for that movie, and they just kept showing John Goodman the whole time. And I thought it was kind of almost like a horror comedy, like from the trailers.
It sort of was, right? He was kind of funny in them. I mean, it was...
But he was barely in the movie. Like, he was in it a little bit, like, as that exterminator. Right. But the movie itself was a scary movie. Like,
it was serious.
Yeah, I was surprised by how scary it was, considering what the trailers were like.
Yep. And my number one was The Fly. I'll go with the remake.
Jeff Goldblum.
With Jeff Goldblum.
1988.
And I did have some honorable mentions this time. I went with Creepshow. Because it wasn't the whole, it was just that one.
That one, they're creeping up on you is the name of that one.
Yeah.
That one gives you the heebie-jeebies for sure. Because
I think they used they had to use real roaches too, right? Because back then they didn't have practical, not CGI.
There was a behind the scenes and they did show how they did that. And it was
a lot of real roaches.
It was crazy. Yep. And there was a movie... It wasn't really a horror. Maybe a horror. It wasn't even a horror comedy. It was just sort of a comedy. on MTV put it out, was called Joe's Apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Joe's Apartment. I remember that one. Yeah.
That was Jerry O'Connell. Jerry O'Connell's Joe.
Yep.
That was a great movie.
It's not a horror. Like you said, it's a comedy.
Well, it's not a horror, but yeah. Joe's Apartment, man. Yeah.
It was a good movie, though. And it was about bugs.
Talking roaches. Yeah.
Yep.
Those roaches were jerks.
Yep.
That was good. That was a funny movie.
It was. Yeah.
Nice one.
Yep.
All right. That's
nice
fantastic.
List.
Very good. All right, now it is my turn. Okay. My number one, Infested.
We'll talk.
I'm sorry, my number five.
We'll talk about that a little bit more, a little bit later.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about that. That's the movie of the month. So my number four, Arachnophobia. My number three, Naked Lunch.
Oh, I forgot about
that. You know, I've never seen that.
Dude, if you're gonna watch it, I suggest that you do it while being extremely high.
Is that what it was meant for?
Either weed or psilocybin, but there is some imagery that is super trippy.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the author was on something.
That was RoboCop, right? Peter.
That's correct.
Weller.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And that was written by, that was directed by, what's his face, too? The guy that did... all the body horror. What's his name?
David Cronenberg?
Yeah, Cronenberg. Yep.
The excellent Cronenberg film. The typewriter freaked me the fuck out, and that was really high, and I think it frightened
me.
Yeah,
I don't know that film. It's a horror? Didn't yes. it? Wasn't that like up for an Oscar or something?
Yeah. Yeah. It's based on the book, Naked Lunch.
You don't often see horrors in Oscar conversation.
My number two, The Fly. The 1988 The Fly, of course, yes.
Jeff Goldblum.
And treasure. My number yep. one, because it impacted me so dramatically, The Mist.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't even think of that one.
You know, really those, good giant, movie. Those giant flying...
Yeah, they were space bugs. Yeah, pretty
yeah,
much.
But they were insects nonetheless.
No, absolutely.
They were indeed bugs. Yep. Yes. Nice.
What and a crazy movie, that one,
that's an awesome yeah. movie. Awesome movie.
The ending, the very ending, straight from the book, straight from the book, but it ripped your guts out. I'll
oh,
tell
God,
you.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. You're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like one of the not happy endings of a movie, right?
For
one
sure.
One of the first films I remember, like, feeling absolutely like shit after watching it.
I know you were, like, so happy that the guy, oh, okay, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh.
Oh, that sucks. I wish more movies would end like that, damn it.
Yeah.
There's times when I'm watching a horror movie and I think it should end at a certain point, and then they carry it on for like 20 more minutes. I'm like, they should have ended it 20 minutes ago.
All right, here's the real question. Why does a horror movie have to have a survivor at the end?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. That's real horror. There's no happy ending. It's
exactly.
over. Movie end. The end. Like, wait, that can't be the end, right? Like, no, that's the end. Everyone died.
Everybody's dead.
And dead. And he just wanders off somewhere else in the woods. And who knows where he's going next?
Right.
Yeah. Honorable mentions? That's it?
Yeah, I've got two honorable mentions. Slither.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Fucking great. And Eight-Legged Freaks, which I almost made that my number five, but after watching our review movie, I'm like, yeah, that one really got to me more than Eight-Legged Freaks. I'll swap those out.
Okay. Nice list.
Thank you.
All right. So my number five is Infested, which we'll talk about here in a little bit further. My number four is Stung. I think I also used that in my creature feature one. That's about a bunch of killer wasps that get bigger and bigger as they end up, and then they like infest the people that they're like. Just a great, gory, gross flick. My number three is Mimic. That was the one where they genetically engineered those cockroaches to kill the infected cockroaches that had released a plague upon the city. And then they just started like mutating and growing and growing and growing and like started mimicking people.
Mimic.
Yeah, that was a good one. My number two is The Fly. With Jeff Goldblum.
1988.
Yeah.
Classic.
I think, did you guys both have it at two as well?
But I had it number one.
You had it one?
I had mine as number two. Oh, yeah.
All right. And my number one is Arachnophobia. Like I was saying earlier, like spider movies, man, like I don't know what it is, because I'm not really afraid. I like spiders. Like, and I like, you know, sometimes they show those cute little spider photos online with, like, you know, like they got the big eyes. It looks like they're, I like spiders, but spider movies creep me out, man. So Arachnophobia was my number one. A couple honorable mentions. They're Creeping Up on You from Creepshow. That, yeah. that one that Craig said. And Them, going all the way back to, like, the giant ants. Yeah, the giant ants that were, like, part of, like, a nuclear experimentation. And they were... And the people, like, I just remember seeing that movie as a kid and being scared as shit of, like, giant ants. Yep. And that's it. That's all I got.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, what a freaking top five list again.
I can't believe we never did Bugs. Can't believe it.
Yeah, and there was a couple more that were on, like, I wrote down The Nest was one that I remember watching.
The Nest is a good one. That's also about killer cockroaches.
Yep. Creepers, that was another one I had written down here. This is some that I watched off my list, but I was gonna put Slither on there, but Slither wasn't really insects, it was kind of like slugs or whatever. Space slugs or whatever but still quite good. All right, fantastic. Now let's move on to our top our movie of the month. What is the movie of the month? The movie of the month is Infested from 2023. It's got a 71% audience and a 95% tomato meter on Rotten Tomatoes as a horror mystery thriller, 1 hour and 46 minutes.
Or in French, it's Vermines, which translates roughly to vermin.
Wow.
Vermines.
Yeah, I'll tell you. At first, I was pissed off, let me just say. Because I've been watching Shogun.
Uh-huh.
Which, obviously, you have to do a lot of fucking subtitle reading for that
show. Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, I go to start this movie, I'm like, what the fucking subtitles again?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm exhausted from Shogun, now I gotta read more.
Yeah, and this is coming, and I'm the one who recommended it, and I used to hate subtitles.
Yeah,
they've kind of grown to me.
But the thing is, seeing some of these foreign films, there's a lot of great horror movies out there. Just because you don't know the language doesn't mean that it's not a good film. So
for sure.
Let's just quickly go over some information about this film. So here's a quick synopsis: Caleb is about to turn 30, and he has never been lonelier. He's fighting with his sister over inheritance and has cut ties with his best friend. Fascinated by exotic animals, he finds a venomous spider in a shop and brings it back to his apartment. It only takes a moment for the spider to escape and reproduce, turning the whole building into a dreadful web trap. The only option for Caleb and his friends is to find a way out and survive. This is directed by Sebastian Valnek. Screenwriter Sebastian Valnek and someone named Flober,
who recently just got tagged to do one of the Evil Dead, the new Evil Dead movies.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the guy, Sebastian Vanacek, or however you say his name.
Vanacek?
Yeah, he's going to be doing one of the Evil Deads.
This is distributed by Shudder. It's produced by MyBox Films. And the genre is horror mystery thriller. The original language is French, and it was released April 26, 2024 to Shudder Streaming. Shudder is pushing this one hard. They're advertising it for people signing up right now, and I can see why. It was a very, very good film, I think.
Stephen King liked it.
Yeah, you could tell there were some some moments where the special effects weren't top-notch, but given the budget that the film had and the amount of money they raked in, it's a pretty good film.
Yeah.
The spider aspect really got me. Like, I was really fucking creeped out by some of that shit.
There was the one scene that just will stick in my head forever, where when they realize that they have to leave through the parking garage, and they open the door to the hallway, and you just see down the hallway, and it's lit with that green light, and there's just like web everywhere, and the screen starts turning like a spiral, real slowly.
Yeah.
I got chills just looking at that view. I was like, holy shit, dude. Like, yeah. and they have no choice because all them other spiders are right behind them. Like, yeah. There was a lot of, like, anxiety in that movie for me.
Dude, that's the one quality of this film that really got me is, the best way to describe it, I was anxious and on edge for most of the film.
Yeah, they did a good job of just keeping it going. Like, I don't want to say it was a slow burn, but it took a while
to really pick up.
Yeah, I felt it was a little long.
Yeah, but they built the characters, which I thought was good because you were confined to one building, so they wanted you to care a bit more about these characters who were getting invaded by these spiders. So I at first I was a little annoyed, but then as the movie went on, I appreciated that I got to know these characters a little bit better.
Right, you find out a little bit about the relationship with the friend that isn't talked to anymore, and yeah. The girlfriend that's there, and him and his sister, and the way they're going at each other, and. Yeah, you really kind of get a good connection of all the cast.
Yeah, members, that sort of nice. Ruined it for me. It was like you said, like every time like there was a group together, they would like yell and scream at each other, and that sort of got annoying to me. It helped with with the angst a little bit. You know, like you said, it
true
sort of helped build that, but I just got annoyed. Like every time they just start yelling at each other and you're trying to read the subtitles and just like yelling. And like, you're trying to figure out like who's yelling and
yeah,
it was just too much yelling for me.
But the other thing, and I think about this is like the location that they chose was like a project basically. Right.
Yeah.
Like, and they were portrayed as lower class citizens, like French citizens, you know, in a ghetto or what have you.
Yeah.
And, so the stereotype that you get of those places typically is violent and loud, right? Like that, to me, that's why they were yelling, was because that's what they were trying to portray, as this was, that type of environment, like where it's the end of the block population, like, which I think plays into the movie. Like one of the reasons it's called Vermines is, or however the hell you say it, is because the people in the building also reflected the spiders.
And the cops didn't give a shit about the people inside. So
right.
Because they were in the ghetto probably.
Right. And so I think the loudness, at least this was what I was thinking, was because of where they were,
I think you're on point. I think you're on point. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's, like I said, that sort of bothered. It's just like,
it bothered me too.
It happened an awful lot.
Why they was yelling at each other?
Part of it is because of the culture too.
Yeah.
Right. You're watching a film here that a culture that we're not necessarily familiar with.
Sure. That's true. Yeah, that's true too. Mm-hmm. French people yell a lot.
And they do. I mean, just the few times that I was in Paris, dealing with, coworkers that are from that country, just realizing, wow, everyone over here is fucking rowdy. Everyone's loud, obnoxious. Huh. They say obnoxious fucking things to each other all the time. Like, okay. I remember one time, listen, this is no joke. We're at a restaurant in Paris. The waiter brings me a beer. I have the beer. It's a Parisian beer. It's a local beer in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is a really good beer. And I don't speak French at all. So I tell the guy next to me, that's my translator, but he also works for the company, but he knows English and French. And I say, can I get another one of those beers? Because that's really good. And he asks the waiter for another beer. And the waiter said something to him, and then he spoke really loud and boisterous, and the waiter started to cry. I'm like, what the fuck did you just say to that guy? He's gonna spit in my fucking food. Why would you make the waiter cry? And the waiter goes away, and he comes back, and he brings me a different beer, and the guy says, that's on the house. And I said, well, why? He goes, well, I said to the waiter, I said, you give him a beer where this is the last beer that you have. There's no more of that beer. That is like going to see a Playboy playmate and she's bucket naked on the bed and you're about to have sex with her and she gives you her Playboy picture and says, go to the bathroom. I'm like, what the fuck? Why did you say that to the waiter? But anyway, that's the fucking French culture. So to me, I'm like watching that film and I never saw the French ghetto, right? So to me, I'm like, hey, it seems like that's the culture, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So great film. Before we go any further, I just want to say we're going to talk spoilery stuff right here. So don't listen any further if you plan on watching this film. Anyway, I'm watching the film in my living room last week, right? Because we were gonna do the podcast. You know, we expected
Thursday, power.
Wednesday. Yeah, you lost power. Fine. The day before, I watched the movie because I wanted to have it fresh in my mind.
I'm
sitting there watching it, and my daughter walks into the room, and there's a scene with fucking spiders everywhere. And she goes, "Is that fucking spiders?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "No." And she walked out of the room.
Nice.
And then I'm like, I guess it's a good film. It's enough to make my daughter not want to watch it.
I saw that they used 200 real spiders for this.
That's crazy.
Besides, and he said they used the huntsman spider, but he had to, all they want to do is hide from the light. They don't want to be in the light. So he could only like film them for like 10 seconds and then had to stop filming because they would get tired and hide.
That's kind of how it was in the movie too, right? They didn't like the light.
Yeah.
Well, they would kind of like put their arms up and kind of just stand there in the light or whatever. They'd back off. Yeah, they wouldn't come at you anymore. Yeah.
Because then they used those flares and shit to like keep the, that scene was creeped the fuck out of me, man. Because it's like, ah!
Yeah, the thing that really got me is like every time they would kill and procreate, they would get bigger.
And bigger.
Until at the end, there was one the size of their fucking car as they were trying to get out of the parking garage.
I was like, oh, shit. You could hear it, too. Like, you saw its, like, arms and shit at first. You're like, oh, my God, no way. No way. And there it was standing right in front of them.
To me, my favorite part of that film was when, at the end, they were trying to get out of the building, right? They went through that long hallway.
Fucking cops.
They're trying to get out of the building. The cops wouldn't let them out. When they finally got out into where the cops were, and the one guy was like, you know what? I know what I got to do. I got to bust that door down and let those fucking spiders in here. And when the cops finally got their up and comings, I was like, yeah, fuck those fucking cops. Because they were locking everyone in the building, letting everybody fucking die.
Now, you see, that's weird because that was the scene that I had the most problem with.
Why did they do that?
But then it was like 5 minutes of gunfire. I'm like, number one, what the fuck are they firing guns at these spiders for? Number two,
because they're dumb cops. That's why.
How do they have so much ammunition? I'm like, this they've been shooting for a while now, and there's got to be thousands of spiders, right? Like, and because of the way it seemed the spiders were moving, I thought these dudes would, especially because now this was they made a comment about it earlier in the movie, and then it helped me digest the end of the movie. Was that if the spiders perceived you as a threat, they attacked you, right? And so these cops were shooting at the spiders, so the spiders perceived them as a threat. Why didn't they,
and then they
take them out much quicker?
Well, and that's why it kept going on and on and on, because apparently that was enough. Like, all the spiders in the building had to be coming through that fucking door.
Yeah, well, that's why I couldn't figure out why it didn't end quicker. Like, I was like, all these spiders had to have been in here and just, like, bum-rushed these dudes by now.
Yeah. All I know is that part made me jump for joy. I'm like, fuck those cops. Fuck them right in the ass. I hope they all get killed.
And I think they did, right?
Yeah,
that was the other thing. Because the kids got out then. And then the next thing you know, they just show them firebombing the building. I'm like, well, did the cops get out of there? Or like,
I'm pretty sure they didn't. I'm pretty sure the only way to get rid of all those spiders is to implode that fucking building.
To firebomb the building.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'll tell you, man, the way that those spiders got into the air ducts,
and every time
you would see like the view of the air ducts, and there's like spiders everywhere. I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be terrible. This is gonna be bad for all those people.
I think the other thing, like I there was a lot I really liked about this movie. Like, I thought the soundtrack was really good. I thought the use of like hip hop was nice, and then like some of like the more like environmental type music. But I liked the lighting too. I thought the lighting was great.
Yeah, there was some cool cinematography in there.
Yeah, there were some really good scenes when he went into the old lady's apartment, and she's on the rocking chair, just silent, and then you see her kind of move, and then the spiders start busting out of her head. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think that was the only thing I would have liked a little bit more. They had some gore, but I could have used just a hair more.
I think it
just
really
a hair
came
more.
Down to the budget. Like, they probably spent a bulk of the budget on that hallway sequence. The amount of spider webs, the amount of spiders in that sequence, that was pretty wild.
And then I wonder what they, like, I couldn't tell, that was that giant spider CGI? I think it was, right?
Yeah, at the end, yeah. But that was probably the best CGI in the film, because there was a couple CGI scenes that I was like, that wasn't awesome. They must have spent all their money on that last scene.
Yeah.
Because that spider was the size of a car, and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing too. They really, like you said, you know, when they got to the end and you just hear the cops shooting the shit out of everything and they get out of the building, and who survived the end? The two girls.
And the kid, the main guy.
The main kid.
So he did. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And that was why that spider let him go. Because like they just walked by him and they could have like attacked it or did something, and they just kind of stood there, and the spider's like, all right, good. You guys are cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he wasn't perceived as a threat, but that was what a interesting movie. And then at the end, when he kind of realized how fucked up he fucked everything up, how his relationships were fucked up, and he had that moment after getting his ass beaten by the cops, which, by the way, that was the other thing that pissed me off. Fucking cops, man. They're just beating the piss out of every one of those guys.
Yeah.
They're all bloodied and beaten to hell at the end. It's like,
they just wanted to get out of the building.
We're just trying to save our fucking lives. We have fucking self-preservation, you know?
Yeah.
A normal human instinct.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there were some aspects of that film that were like, you know, really good. Some were frustrating, but I will say that I was on edge. I was totally filled with anxiety, totally filled, especially once the building and they couldn't get out. I was filled with dread. I'm like, this is fucked. They're all going to die. When they're in that last room and the last guy shows that he got bit by a spider, I'm like, oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of those times where like I said, like sometimes I think movies could just end 15 minutes early. They could have done that. They were pretty much trapped in that building. They should have just ended it with that girl sobbing like uncontrollably, like just like because like they left her fiance out there to like just get like killed by them spiders. That would have been a great ending for me. Like just her sobbing and you fade to black and that's it. No happy ending. Nobody escapes.
They wanted to wrap it up with a fuck the police scene.
If
you give it the way that France has been dealing with the police over there lately with all the protests.
Yeah.
I think this was just one of those fuck the police scenes, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it. Like I said, there was a lot I liked about it. There was some things here or there that could have been better.
There were a couple continuity errors that I caught too. Like there was one that distinctly caught me right off the beginning, and that was the first guy who bought the shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
He goes to put the first shoe on and he gets bit by the spider. He takes the shoe off and realizes he's bit. But when they take his corpse out, he's wearing one of the shoes on the other foot.
Yeah.
He never put that one on when he got bit. So that was a continuity issue.
He had it on the wrong foot.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, well, he didn't have either of the shoes on when he died, but he came out of there with one shoe on. So, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
I missed that
another
part.
There was another one too that I was like, that doesn't seem right. And then I rewind it. I go, the fuck, the continuity. There's a couple continuity issues. But again, I've never filmed a movie. I gotta imagine it's tough. You gotta be a good editor to catch those continuity issues.
Yeah, I think the bathroom scene I really enjoyed where she was in the shower and shit. And you kept waiting. You knew that somewhere that spider was going to come from somewhere. And they, nope, not yet. Nope, not yet. Nope, not yet. And you're like, come, just fucking bring the spider out already. God damn it.
The cool thing was they kind of figured right away where it was coming from because they duct taped all the vents up and everything, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if they would have stayed in that apartment all night, they might have been safe if they would have just taped everything up. I don't know.
Well, and they would have had to leave that egg sack alone in that box too because
they had that box taped up.
And they opened it up and I was like, don't open that box.
No.
Yeah.
When that
don't
guy
open
came
the box.
In, the guy that was an idiot is like, you're selling drugs. You guys are selling drugs. You're just a heroin addict. And then he's like, he sees the box tape and he goes, that's where it's at. And he takes the knife and he cuts it open and bam. And then he just shut the door and lock him in there. That was fucking great.
Yeah. Good shit.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, it was a pretty good film. I think, you know, right now they're advertising Late Night with the Devil, this film. And what was the other one? There was three films that they've been advertising for Shudder all the time on streaming now. But I think this is one of those films that they're right to advertise this. I think a lot of people that don't mind reading subtitles are going to like this film.
Yeah, I'd say I'm going to go 3.5.
Yeah, I agree. 3.5.
I'll go 3, so 3.5 it is.
All right.
Okay.
It's an American Nightmare podcast, 3.5 stars for Infested.
Oh, you'll never find me, I think, is the other third. Sorry.
That's right. That was the other one. Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, check it out. If you like, it's a creepy spider movie. And again, I'm not afraid of spiders, but spider movies, I don't know what it is about them. They creep me out.
Another great purchase by Shudder. Another great film to have on their streaming service. It's a French foreign language film, but Just shows that horror is universal, my friends.
Yeah, and horror, I'm
remember Marianne was French.
That was creepy as shit.
Really that, I was going to say, if you watch, and you had to watch the original, not dubbed. The voices and stuff.
Yeah, because the voices were way creepier in their native language than the dubbed English ones.
I'm excited to see what this director is going to do with Evil Dead too. Like this was a he's got some good vision. Like I'm interested to see what he can do.
Yeah, we'll see. I wonder when that film's due to come out. Probably in 2 years or so, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, probably about 2 years.
All right, awesome. All right. Thank you, everybody. And just a quick wrap up here. I'm going to thank all of our listeners for listening. I see the streams are picking up on YouTube podcasts. So thank you, everyone. And if you want to give us some feedback or you want to offer a recommendation for a film to review or a top five list, you can contact us via voicemail at 1-562-247-5855, or you can email us at feedback@the-american-nightmare.com, or check us out on our Facebook group, post a message there, and we'll reply to you. Thanks, everybody. See you next month.
So long.